Good morning.
Open the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue.
I'm just going to grab Senator Monroe, but he's on the move.
He's moving, I'm moving.
Well, there goes, all righty here. We're off to a rocking start here. This is Lobbying Central. All the members of the committee are getting lobbied on bills as we speak. So, Chris, we'll do 39 first. Open a work session on Senate Bill 39. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 39 has been re-referred back to the committee. During the engrossing process, Ledge Council noticed a potential problem with two of the penalties, some language in the bill pertaining to the direction of the funds from the penalties being directed to the general fund. The bill was re-referred back to committee, but then upon further research, it was determined that there actually was no problem with the bill, and the language is fine. So it just needs to be resent back to the
floor.
So
we're Senator Monroe.
I move Senate Bill 39A engross to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Monroe has moved, so we're needing to make no changes to a legislative council, send a letter, and then retrieve that same letter. Always excited when that happens. Senator Monroe has moved Senate Bill 39 to the floor with a due pass recommendation discussion. Any objections to that motion? So moved. Senator Starr is excused.
It looks like we have a carrier already.
Yep. Right, yeah, does it say Representative Monroe?
Yeah.
You're now in the House, Representative Monroe.
I did that once.
Okay, open a work session on Senate Bill 5516. This is the capital construction budget for the university system, and folks should have a -3 amendment, which is the work. Thanks, Alan. Great. Masson.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the -3 amendment in front of you attempts to put a general policy that the committee was going towards with the debt levels, and those debt levels basically are two. The one is the general fund debt level. And what we have done is looked at the 5% debt level debt service level that is suggested by the Commission on State Debt Advisory. But however, the 5% that we've considered is out of a 90% of the general fund forecast, and those 90% are primarily an account of the level of risk that we might encounter along the way, which means we bring that forecast into a lower 10% from where it is. The amounts that you see here at $658 million for the general fund is also updated for the March forecast, so it'll be a little different than what you have seen in the last meeting. That number was more of a December forecast number. This one would be newly adjusted. The other ceiling is at the lottery, and the lottery level is at 342,875,000. What this tries to capture is a coverage of about four. This coverage of four is what is recommended by the Debt Advisory Commission. However, that means every dollar of the lottery would be, every dollar out of four in the lottery would be used for debt service. However, to account for the risks that we might encounter along the way of the structural risk in the lottery that we talked about the previous meeting, we are looking at about taking 75% of that lottery forecast rather than 100% of it as would been done otherwise. The 342 is the number that ends up to be after we take in consideration the payments and the debt service for existing bonds with the lottery. So this is what we have open for us for the biennium 0709.
Questions for Mazin. Senator Monroe.
Well, I'm really troubled by the number of lottery bonds, the 75%. I support the 90% GO. Actually, lottery revenues have been going up much more consistently than general fund revenue, which goes up and down. There are tremendous capital needs, both for community colleges and higher ed, that cannot be met at the 75% level. And I would much prefer if this committee could assign that at 90%, the same as for GO. Still a very conservative number. What the revenue people are telling us is that 100% is what we could expect, and then we go 10% below that for safety, for additional safety. Seems to me very reasonable. And it does make a huge difference, the difference between 75% and 90% is somewhere around $100 million that would be available for capital needs for community colleges and higher ed, other capital needs. So, Mr. Chair, at the appropriate time, I'd like to move that change.
Well, we're looking to move the bill down to Ways and Means.
Okay.
We were a little more conservative on the lottery side, although you'll notice far closer to the governor's estimates than the numbers that have surfaced recently, and so this is a dramatic increase from previous numbers that we saw, but there was some strong push to be more conservative on the lottery side. Senator Starr.
Thank you. I just to maybe argue the other side, and I don't completely disagree with Senator Monroe, but I think there are some outside risks to the lottery that this committee has heard about as it relates to casinos being built close to the Portland area, both in the Gorge and in Clark County. And I think that it's, I think it's good for us to be on the more prudent side. So I can, in some respects, I could argue both sides of this pretty easily. And I understand the huge need out there, but I'm comfortable with the 75%.
The nature of the discussion was that we're one of only, three states that actually employs lottery bonds, and only Florida uses it as aggressively as Oregon. And I think with the figure that you see before you on line 7, page 2, that is a relatively aggressive number, but taken into account, obviously much, much higher than the co-chairs, dramatically higher than where the co-chairs came in. And it was after a number of meetings, but listening to the committee and to the testimony they received in three hearings is where we arrived at being a little bit more conservative on the lottery side, though not obviously. I think that has to be recognized. Would be a big expansion from where we were 2 weeks ago.
Well,
Senator Monroe.
Mr. Chair, this recommendation was only published late yesterday, and so I have in the last few hours heard from a number of people that represent community colleges and higher ed. They're very, very frustrated by this number. It just strikes me, and I made this speech a couple of weeks ago, and I'll do it again. We have a workforce that's aging. We need to educate a new workforce to replace them. Baby boomers are getting at retirement age. Our community colleges and our higher ed have tremendous capital needs, deferred maintenance, and other capital needs. If we're going to educate our workforce that for the 21st century, I think we're going to have to meet some of those needs. And I think now is the time to be a little more aggressive, still within the safe zone. We're still 10% below. At 90%, we're still 10% below what we anticipate we would be able to fund from lottery. The question really then is, you know, do you maintain lottery for ongoing programs, or do you bond against the lottery stream to meet a crisis need today and then pay for it over time, like when you buy your home mortgage? And I think now is the time to act aggressively to meet some of the capital needs in the state. And lottery revenue, although it may not continue to go up as fast as has been, and it's not forecast to go up as fast as it has been going up, still, I don't see it dropping, even if there is a new casino that comes online in the Gorge, which probably is going to happen sometime. I think Oregonians are addicted to gambling, and they're going to keep gambling. And I think we ought to use that to meet some of the very real employment needs. Capital money invested today not only creates a tremendous number of jobs immediately, construction jobs, but also helps our colleges to meet the needs of workforce in the future. And so I will respect, of course, and support the decision of a majority, but Mr. Chair, I would like to move the dash two. Can't read it without my dash three. I'd like to move the dash three amendments with one change, that on page two, line.
We're not going to do a conceptual.
You don't want to do it.
Amendment. We just don't. We haven't done conceptual.
You can't change a number without it coming from LC.
I think the options are, we've been working this for a couple of months, and the options are, as I see it, three. One is, we could do nothing with 5516. That's the governor's bill on capital construction for post-secondary education and higher ed. And we can allow, this bill's going to Ways and Means. We could allow Ways and Means to just draft a new bill. I think we know, have an idea of what that capital construction budget will look like if we do that. So that's, as I said, option one. Option two is, we can pass this dash three and move it down to Ways and Means, and they can always, with a majority vote on subcommittee that both Senator Starr and I are on, they could adjust these numbers with a majority vote on that subcommittee. Option three would be to do nothing today, and then I just could give no guarantee that we'll, because I've made the pledge, we're going to try to move these bills. It's taken a little longer than I anticipated.
I hate to say a delay, and I do want to expedite helping you to move the bill, but I feel pretty strongly about this, that our recommendation to Ways and Means should be at 90% level for both GO and lottery, and then Ways and Means, of course, can change that.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Burdick.
I haven't been in these meetings, and I want to express my appreciation for coming as far as you have. I tend to agree with Senator Monroe on the tremendous need out there, and one of my institutions, Portland State, is kind of ground zero for a lot of those needs. But what I wanted to ask you is that out of these meetings, did you have some kind of consensus that if we kind of recommended this middle ground, that it would carry the day in Ways and Means? Because I don't want to disrupt any. I'm very comfortable with the 90% for, because of the need, but I don't want to disrupt any negotiation that might have taken place. I'd rather have 75% than where we were, you know, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to get a sense from you, Mr. Chair, of you know, if we send down 70%, is it likely to hold, or would we be better off sending down 90 and having them chip away at it a little bit?
Good question, Senator Burdick. So our task was to take a look at this, and that's why we really, and we've done a good job at this, of really not looking at the projects very. We obviously get a good feel for whether the projects in 5516 on the community college side and the higher ed side, but we're really tasked with this dash three, setting the overall amounts. Now, by setting them in 5516, and this gets at your question, and so that was very clear from the start of session that that was what we were going to do. And by setting these amounts, they will be taken because that was our function in this, is to look at the long-term bonding capability of the state and really the debt management side more than just the next 4 years and what we can pay, the payment we're able to afford for the next 4 years, but really that 10, 20-year look and what bonds are going to be retired in 2014, which should be helpful in these discussions. By adopting the Dash 3 amendments, I do believe they will hold. I do believe they are a dramatic change from where we were 2 weeks ago. And really, the main reason they will hold is, A, that was what we had discussed early in session in terms of ways and means and revenue and the Senate president. But B, you'll need a majority vote to change these numbers in 5516. And so you're going to have to get a majority of senators and representatives who want to go down from these numbers. And I think that will be, that this is just my general sense, is that that would be a hard, I would not be one to be the one that's arguing to reduce these numbers dramatically, because I think it'd be hard to get the votes necessary to do that, both in the subcommittee and full ways and means, and then on the House and Senate floor.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator George.
I don't think there's anybody in this building that questions my conservative credentials. And but when I look at this, I'm absolutely convinced. The numbers that I'm looking at right now show us we're 140 plus million below what would be a reasonable expectation to be able to debt that we cover. And with the number that we were originally looking at, it's some, 443. That to me is very, very safe, a very, very conservative number. And I'm with you. There's a number of us in this building that have said, if this isn't the time to do this, when is it going to be? Because as Senator Monroe pointed out, we have the expectation of needing to educate, re-educate a great number of people, and you need facilities in which to do that in. To me, this was, if I was going to say there was a reason for the lottery, it would be for this. And right now what we're looking at is about a 10% per year increase in cost if we don't step up to the total package plate. And to me, that exceeds interest costs, and that's probably been a good investment. We have the need. We know what the needs are. We know what the costs are going to be as far as our cost of servicing this debt. I think we're very conservative into what is expectation of lottery. I mean, I would be willing to come back here and say, if we need to do something, let's add more terminals if we need to in certain locations, allow them to step up. And I've always felt that way. And I'm getting a strange look from Senator Starr. You're in a competitive business. The better business is, as the senator said, where people want to gamble. And if they do, then we should meet that market. And particularly when we can do so much good with what many people question is a legitimate way for government to raise money. I think the people have spoken on this, and I don't think there would be anything we could walk out of this building doing that would please the people more than to be able to satisfy a need that is so greatly expected, I think, by the people. That's the end of my sermon.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Can I make a suggestion? This number just came out last night, and I know, the bill has been before us for a long time, but is there any possibility that we could set this over for a day or two to give the folks that are going to be most affected by it an opportunity to speak to us?
Well, they have been involved in the discussions. I don't see many of them here. They know this bill was up today. They've known it for a week that it was up today.
They hadn't seen this number until yesterday.
They, I think, had some insight into where it was headed. So as I see it, the options are we can close out this work session, happy to do it, and just will not guarantee that this bill will come back. And we can leave it up to ways and means to deal with this, and we can do that.
That's not appropriate.
Or we can adopt the Dash 3 amendments and move the bill down to ways and means. We can do it without recommendation if the committee wants to do that. Or we can gamble and say we can give this another week or two and see if you can't get folks back together. I think that's the least likely outcome. But that's the options that we have before us right now, and probably should exercise one of those. Senator George.
Mr. Chairman, we're going to caucus today off the floor, and I think this is something we run before our caucus and just ask them. There's 90 people in this building that make the decisions, not two. And negotiations that none of us participated in, those are fine. We all understand the process. But I really would really like to get a read of our caucuses as to what they think about this. And I'll take my packet to my caucus, and I know Senator Starr will, and I would hope you guys would do the same thing and get a read back from our caucuses. What do you really think about this?
We can do that.
I don't want to foster rebellion here, but
we absolutely can do that. What I'm telling you is the likelihood of this bill coming back before this committee will be much, much lower. We've wanted to get it out in March. The subcommittee that is expecting the bill is waiting for it. They've been asking me when we'll be done with our work on it. So that is an option, and we can do that. I can tell you that the likelihood of 5516, now Ways and Means, they have a great option before them. They can just draft a new bill, and that's something that they can do, and perhaps that's where we want to leave it, is allow them to draft a new bill, and we can just forward on our thoughts of the work that we did.
Mr. Chair, if this goes to Ways and Means at the 75% level, and say that we do meet with our caucuses and get a real sense that we do want to go to the 90%, could they do that at Ways and Means?
Yeah, you just need a majority vote. On my understanding, it's going to the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Education. These numbers are subject to change. This is our best work. And maybe some might disagree, our best, but this is our best work at finding appropriate debt levels. They can, with a majority vote, change these. So the point that I was making is this is a dramatic change from where the co-chairs were in terms of capital investment in community colleges and higher education, and it's a dramatic change up from where they were at. I think you will probably, just given a sense of where the votes are, could be wrong, this is probably at least the floor for that. And the floor just changed in a very dramatic. I mean, I'm just going to say it was a 93% cut from where the governor was at to where we as a legislature were about 3 weeks ago. This eats back about 80% of that, or raises it by about 80%. But that subcommittee could easily... and Senator Starr and I sit down there every single day, and getting a sense of where that subcommittee is, I just think it would be, it could go up. But this is our informed opinion of at least where proper debt levels should be. So I'm going to close the hearing on 5516 and...
Were we in hearing?
We were in a work session.
Yeah, I didn't think there was a hearing.
Don't close the work session.
If folks want to move the
motion, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
I move the -3 amendments to Senate Bill 5516.
Senator Starr has moved the -3 amendments to Senate Bill 5516. Discussion.
Mr. Chair, I just want the record to show that I would favor the 90% level, but I'm going to support this motion because I would rather have a bird in hand rather than just leave it up to the Ways and Means process, given the low level that came out a couple of weeks ago. And I would ask our two members on this committee who sit on the subcommittee to please be receptive to an increase in this 75% number.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Monroe.
Yeah, I agree with Senator Burdick, and I too will support this, but I also would ask you, Mr. Chair, to raise this issue before our caucus. Senator George and Senator Starr can talk to their caucus and try to get an idea where the full membership of the Senate is before Ways and Means takes final action. And I would add to that, Ways and Means, the co-chairs, gave you, Mr. Chair, and this committee the responsibility to recommend an aggregate number for general fund and lottery bonding. That was our job. That's the job they gave us. And to not do that, I think, would be unacceptable, absolutely unacceptable. And so, as you know, I favor the 90% level. I think there's prudent reason for doing that, but I will support the motion.
Senator George.
Mr. Chairman, I will not, because I know where the money went that should be here and or where they intend to send it. And when I put the two together and I put them in the scale, it overwhelmingly goes for capital construction for our college system. And with that, I will bear no vote.
Senator
I think somebody needs to send a message to them that this is unacceptable.
Any other discussion? Barbara, can you call the roll?
Senator Burdick.
Aye.
Senator George.
Nope.
Senator Monroe.
Aye.
Senator Starr.
Aye.
Chair Decker.
Votes aye. Motion carries. We have adopted the dash rules, now we need to move the bill to Ways and Means. We can do it with no recommendation if the committee prefers that.
I would prefer a due pass, Mr. Chair.
Do you want to make the motion?
I move the Senate Bill 5516 to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Burdick has moved Senate Bill 5516 to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion.
As amended.
Barbara, can you call the roll, please?
Senator Burdick.
Aye.
Senator George.
No.
Senator Monroe.
Aye.
Senator Starr.
Aye.
Chair Decker.
Votes aye. Open a work session on Senate Bill 152. Mazin.
Mr. Chair, members of committee, Senate Bill 152, although we talked about it before, it seems to be a companion bill that is like a stepchild of when it comes to this committee. It's an enabling bill of how the governor will the section 2 of the bill is when the governor issues a report for the requirement of the construction by the department fire head. Now we have the dash 1 amendment of 152, and the 152-1 puts into the language, the law, the ability for the department to accept gifts, grants, and other additions for the Oregon University system, and allows that money to be used for the capital construction and education fund. And we have also, because of all of that, we still got the fiscal impact or a fiscal statement of no impact on Senate Bill 152, but not the dash 1 amendment.
Majid, what was the last statement?
So the fiscal impact of no fiscal impact on the Senate Bill itself, the 152, but that's not that is not inclusive of the dash 1. Does not mean there is a fiscal on it. It's just we haven't received.
Okay. Questions for Mazin.
Mr. Chair, is it your plan to adopt the dash 1 amendment?
Well, where are the dash 1s?
They were in my file. I think they were dated March 20th.
So who?
Mr. Chair.
The question that I have, the dash ones also repeal ORS 351-627. And I'm curious to know why that is, because that's the higher ed capital construction fund language that's in the statute. Is there a reason why they'd want to delete that particular statute?
Who's the author of the dash ones?
Somebody standing.
Bill McGee.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Bill McGee for the Department of Administrative Services. We are not the authors of the Dash 1s. The Department of Higher Education was, and I think they are not pleased with or are not satisfied that these amendments got them to where they wanted to be.
We had
some changes that we had wanted as well that didn't make here, so I think neither of us are supporting the Dash 1s. Dash 2s are not available yet. The Dash 2s, well, what higher ed was looking for was to expand this authority to allow the Board of Higher Education to determine how gifts and money that projects would be solely funded with gifts and grants would be established, rather than have the legislature, in essence, establish a separate limitation for every project that really doesn't involve state money and doesn't get a lot of individual review at the project level. We had wanted to make clear that the Article 11F bond projects, which are referenced in the bill, would the authority for the higher ed board to establish individual project authority over a larger limit that the legislature would set would not include projects that were tuition financed. The debt service would be tuition financed. And we don't have those amendments either. So I understand this bill has a subsequent reference to Ways and Means. If you would want to move it, we probably could both resolve our issues there, depending on your preference, or we could wait until we actually get some the dash 2 minutes, if that was clear at all.
That was. I now remember the chancellor talking to me about the dash ones and him saying they got him half of what he was hoping for. And he's working with council to get the other half, which obviously aren't there. So I believe not adopting the dash ones would be the proper.
But the dash ones do include the repealing of ORS 351-627, which is the higher ed capital construction fund language and such. You know, do we expect to see that in the dash twos?
That I don't believe we'll see that. I believe that was incorrectly included in here.
Other questions for Mr. McGee or Mazin? Senator George.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate Bill 152 be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Ways and Means, excuse me.
Senator George has moved that Senate Bill 152 be moved to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections to that?
Chair.
Senator Monroe.
Since it needs to be amended, should that be without recommendation instead of with a due pass? Since the bill is not as we hope it will be in the end, seems to me that would be a more appropriate motion. Senator George would agree.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely. Yeah.
You want to rephrase? Okay, Senator George.
Okay. I move that Senate Bill 152 be sent to the Ways and Means Committee without recommendation.
Senator George has moved that Senate Bill 152 be moved to the Ways and Means Committee without recommendation. Discussion. Objections to that motion. So ordered. We're adjourned until 8:45 tomorrow.